Maral that we're studying with a view to the parish of the Maharal, to the Inyanim in Parshas Mishpatim, to damages, the halachas of Chayv Lumazik, the halachas of Nizke Mammon. So the Maharal points out that, very interestingly, there's a tremendous difference between the din in the case of a Jewish ox, meaning an ox belonging to a Jew, that's gored by another ox also owned by a Jew, versus a case in which the offending ox is owned by a Gentile. In the case of an ox owned by a Jew, so the din is that the Jew has to pay chatzi nezek. Jew has to pay half damages, unless the ox has done this three times. If it's a shor mu'ud, then we pay nezek shalom. Otherwise, chatzi nezek. However, in the case of an ox that belongs to a Gentile, the Gemara says, according to one opinion, the Gentile is always chayiv nezek shalom. Another difference, an even bigger difference, is that if the ox of a Jew gores the ox of a Gentile, the Jew is putter. Putter. So you have an ox that gores another ox, and if the you know, plaintiff in the case is a Gentile, then the Jew is pater, even though his ox gored the non-Jewish person's ox. The Jew is pater. And the question is why? It almost seems to be unfair. So let's start this piece. This is in the Be'er HaGola, Be'er HaShvi, and in these editions of the Maharal Be'er HaGola, page Kuf Mem He, second column. Nimtza ki bnei adam nachlokim legimul chalokim. There are three categories of man amongst mankind. Ha'echad shehu chafetz ba'avaydas hasiba harishona. First you have Jews. They want to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They want to serve the Almighty. Here, the Maral talks about Hashem as the first great cause, with a capital C, meaning the cause and creator of all that exists, of the universe. And this person in the first category is someone who wishes to do the will of God, the Kayim HaMitzvos Kula Mashenosan Hashem Yisparach. HaChelek HaSheini, you have another group of people, Eina Oysa HaMitzvos. They are not fulfilling mitzvahs, but mikol makom, einay machlif toiv bira, they don't turn it all around, God forbid, to serve avodah zara, lava idolakim zulasa, they don't serve other gods, they don't betray HaKadosh Baruch, lava idolakim zulasa, ashabara hakol, they don't betray HaKadosh Baruch Hu, master of the universe who created everything. Achelik hashlishi hey machlifim. And then you have the third category, those who are absolutely unfaithful and turn to other gods and worship other gods and are completely, so to speak, outside the realm of the faith, outside the realm of the faithful. They betray HaKadosh Baruch Hu entirely. So when we look at the din of Mishpatei Hagoyim, skipping down to the second part of this citation, Ulefichach, Masha Amru, BeMishpatei Hagoyim, that should be BeParik Revi, in Bava Kama Daf Lamed Zayin, Shor Shel Yisrael, Shenogach Shor Shel Nochri, if a Jewish owned ox gores a Nochri, a non-Jewish owned ox, Bein Tam, Bein Mu'ud, whether it's the first, second time, or if it's a Tam Mu'ud, excuse me, or if it's a Shor Mu'ud, no matter what, Potter, Why? Nachri ha'amr kan hu ha'chelek ha'shlishi. The Nachri here is the Oved of Avodah Zarah. He's an Akum. Oved kechav mumazalas. And it's not that he's being punished, as he's about to explain. V'hinei, oysam shehem oivdim el Hashem Yisbarach, yesh lehem shituf v'chibur yachad. Those who serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu relate to each other, they are joined by the fact that they are all HaKadosh Baruch Hu's children. They have shituf, partnership, chibur. They are joined together, they have a certain unitary nature. Chibur yachad b'mashi yesh lehem ke'el echad. They're all, because of their fealty to one Hashem, they are all one with each other. Hu hasibah harishayna, the first cause, again, with a capital C, hamakasher oisam, who brings them together, ties them and binds them to one another, umaached oisam, and unifies them. Ach oisam shehem oivdim zulasi yisbarach hem hanivroim nivdalim min kol hanivroim. But those who betray HaKadosh Baruch Hu have set themselves apart from, they have separated themselves from everything else in the universe. They have literally cut themselves off from the entire world. If you deny HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so you're not part of that whole world that's His. And then you're all lost, so to speak. Separate and disconnected and disjoint, not only from each other, but from all of us, and from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and from the rest of the world, from the material world. You have no place, and you have no partnership. Ulekach, ro'i mitzad zeh liftar, shelo yechayev behezek ha-behema le-behema shelohem. So if they're not part of the world, so it makes sense that you're not obligated to make restitution to them. They're not part of our world. But the reason for this at the core is because the entire din of this gemama, particularly in the case of an animal that gores, and of course, adam mu'ud la'olam, if a person intentionally or even inadvertently, but because of his negligence, does damage, of course he's going to be chayiv. But here, in the case of an animal that does the damage, really, there should be no responsibility in all instances. The idea that you're responsible for what your animal does is a chiddush. Why would you be responsible for what your animal does? Ki lefi hadas v'hasvara al hanizik lishmar atzma min ha-hezik. Logically, everyone should make sure their own animals stay safe. Everyone should watch that their animal is not gored by some other animal. Everyone should be careful with their belongings. So watch out that your animal not be gored. If you're going to argue, well, the victims, sure. The plaintiff, sure, can't be watched all day. It has to go out to pasture. You have to let it be an animal and do its thing, move about somewhat freely. Well, then, gam ha-mazik. Then the mazik, the defendant has the right to say the same thing about his ox. Eich lo yseitze behem toileroys. He also can say, look, you know, what more do you expect of me? My animal has to be allowed to go out and pasture. So, the idea that one is responsible for what one's animal does, and we're talking about here about domesticated animals. I mean, it's not preposterous, but it's a chiddush of the Torah. Now, to understand what he means, reflect on this. What is one's responsibility if and when one's child causes damage? Someone once came to me complaining that a neighbor has a child, a 6-7-year-old child, riding his bicycle, crashing into his car in the driveway. They share a driveway, scratching up his car. He scratched, put a couple of scratches in this fellow's car, and the neighbor's son. he felt very badly about it, but he wanted to approach the fellow and say, look, you know, look, I'm sure your child's a good, nice boy, but children are children, boys will be boys, and he scratched up my car accidentally. What's the din? I said, the din is that your neighbor is putter. The din is your neighbor's putter. A child that does damage that way, sure, in Dinei Shemayim, you should make sure your child doesn't do that. But if a child inadvertently and accidentally causes damage, and then the parent is not held liable. Here, it's an animal. So the Maharal is saying that really, logically, you wouldn't be responsible for what your animal does. And the nizik, the victim or plaintiff, should watch that his animal not get hurt, not get damaged by other animals. Yet, the Torah says that we are responsible. The Torah says that we will have to pay. Begam ata, he says, ein mi shedan al pi hanimus. He says, looking at the laws in Czechoslovakia of his time, in Bavaria of his day, he says, we don't see that that people are responsible for what damages their animal might do accidentally. Apianimus, by custom, we don't see kasha shor shel echad nogach l'shor acher shechayev l'shalim. We don't find that you're responsible to pay. V'hatayra chiyev l'shalim. But the Torah says you have to pay. You have to pay your fellow Jew because you have a relationship with him. You have chibur v'reis. You have a tremendous unity with this person. You have a friendship. You have reus, meaning you have this companionship with your fellow Jew. Because you have this companionship and this brotherhood. So then it's not fitting for one to be mafsid, for one to cause loss to the other. Even if it's only your animal that caused damage, your property caused damage to somebody else's property, but because we are one, we have to make each other whole. Because we have that kind of a relationship with one another. So why does it say not just another shor? It says shor re'ehu. So of course that's the source of the din. Re'ehu means a fellow Jew. Re'ehu does not mean just anybody. But what the Maral is saying is it's because of re'us. It's because of that relationship that you have with another Jew that causes you to have something between you and another Jew that you don't have with a Gentile. So therefore, it's special. And because it's a special relationship and sensitive, and a relationship of such love where you should want your neighbor to be whole, make him whole after by accident your animal damaged his animal. But it's an extraordinary din. The Maral is saying it's not that Chas v'Sholom, a Gentile doesn't deserve to be paid back, or a Gentile is less than we are, or that you can just, you know, treat a non-Jewish person's property with abandon and carelessly. Chas v'shalom, that's not the case. That's not true. And if a Jewish person intentionally damages a non-Jewish person's property, he has to pay. Nezek shalom. But in the case of an animal, where to begin with, the entire idea of being responsible is a chiddush of the Torah, which normally and typically and in other cultures you would find that it's just not so. That's because of the fact that we have this special relationship. We are joined together as Hashem's people, as Hashem's children. And we want and care and must want to care for each other and must want to make each other whole. And so the Torah says, the expression of reyus is not just companionship but brotherhood. It's a lashon of hischabrus. It's a lashon of we are one with each other. Kamoi, as the pasuk in Mishlei says, Ish Reim leHisraeya. People joining together to become closer and closer, leHisraeya, meaning to become closer and closer and to join together in one big bond. By the way, the pasuk continues, V'yesh oyhev dovek me'och. A love that is binding you together, like brothers, or even more than brotherhood. Ukiyotze b'harbe. Reus, we find many times, is used that way. M'pnei sheyesh lehem chibur b'yachad, layove hezik mizeh lezeh, because they are one, so then any damage caused by one to the other, and loss caused by one to the other, is unbecoming and unfitting. L'fichach, yishalem hezik she'asolem emaynoi. Aval misha lokech es atzmo letzad acher. But a non-Jewish person who has separated himself and is not joined with us and with the rest of the world, has separated himself, doesn't have this special relationship to us, and as a result, because he is Eino Eved Misha Bara HaKol, does not serve HaKadosh Baruch, Rak Eved Zulasoi Shenikra Beloshen Nochri, instead he's worshipping Elohei Nechar, as they're called. Elohei Nechar, meaning gods that are Nechar, that are strange, meaning they're not HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They cause themselves to be cut off. One of the reasons they're called Elohim Acherim and Nechar is because they really don't even have a relationship with those who worship them, because they are not able to have a relationship with those who worship them, because they are not real. They are foreign, they are strangers to those who worship them, because they are not real. They are figments of imagination. They are not real. They are foreign, strange, zor. Ein loy reis klalimoy, v'loy hishira hatoyler shalem. There is no reis. There is no relationship between the one who did the damage, whose animal did the damage, and the quote-unquote victim. They have no relationship. And so they have no reason to treat each other with this sense of brotherhood and with this sense of, oh, we are one, so we should keep each other whole. No. So there are two parts to this explanation. One is that, importantly, the entire law of being responsible for what damage your animal inflicts, for what damage your animal does, is unique, and unique to the Torah. Because, really, why should one be held responsible for what one's animal does? People should make sure their own animals are kept safe from all kinds of possible damages. Animals will do this to each other, so if you didn't want to let your animal be damaged, watch it more carefully. Don't let it out to pasture. You let it out to be amongst other animals, animals will do to each other what animals will do. But no, if it's a Jewish... If it's two Jews, and if the victim in the case, as the defendant, both are Jewish people, so then they have a special relationship. So uniquely, the Torah says that it behooves you to make each other and keep each other whole because of that special relationship that you have with each other. That is, that you are both in a special relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and because you're both in a special relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have a special relationship with each other, to be treasured to the point where you keep each other and make each other whole, even when this inadvertence takes place. Yeah? Then we're responsible. Even if it's a non-Jewish person, yes. if an animal does damage to another human being, then the Jewish owner of the animal is responsible, even when the victim is a non-Jew. Now, yes?
So what about the second category of the non-Jew who isn't a widow of a tzar?
So the implication of the moral is that if the non-Jew who is the victim here, whose animal was gored, is mekayim sheva mitzvos b'nei Noach, then there would be responsibility. That's a chiddush, but that's the implication of the Maharal.
But they do not have the same brother.
But on the other hand, in the way the Maharal would say it, they're not cut off from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore they're not cut off from all of us. Okay. Now there's another din, and this also in Parshas Mishpatim, which the Maharal mentions in connection with the Gemara Maseches Brachos. Let's first tell you what the din is. The din is that a Jewish servant who loses a tooth because the Jewish master of the Eved Ivri, accidentally, maybe in the course of their working together, has hurt him and he's lost a tooth. The law is that he has to pay him. He has to pay him the damages, whatever it is that he typically would pay any other Jew who has been damaged that way. Nezek, tzar, ripu, shevis, boshes. Whatever it is that is lost, whatever doctor bills there are, in this case, unemployment is not an issue because he's in the employ of this master. But the other dinim all apply. He has to give him and make restitution for the Eved's loss of his tooth. But the Eved remains an Eved. He's still responsible to work for his Jewish master. On the other hand, if it is a non-Jewish Eved, an Eved Knani, and the Jewish master causes him to lose a tooth, he goes free. He's no longer a slave. He goes free. That's what the Torah says. Torah says that Shane Eved, that by having struck him and causing him to lose a tooth or an eye, the Eved goes free. About an Eved Ivri, or Amah Ivri, the Torah says explicitly, that's not to be the case in the case of a Jewish slave or a Jewish servant, man or woman. The question is why? So here it seems to be the case that the liability is greater. Here, where you've just taken the tooth of an Eved, who maybe would have worked for you for the next 20, 30 years, and who's worth, therefore, tens of thousands of dollars, he goes free. Whereas if it would be a Jewish servant, you would have to make payment of whatever it's worth to have lived with a tooth rather than without, and the pain and so on, but and his dental bills and whatnot, but that's it. So the question is why? So in the course of discussing a Gemara in Brachos, the Maharal explains this idea. Now the Gemara in Brachos says an interesting thing. The Gemara says that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu Le'aleinu brings human suffering upon us, so it cleanses us and removes the stain and guilt of our sins. And that's one of the reasons that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings pain upon us, to cleanse us of our sins. Now, how do you know that works, that functions that way? So the Gemara says, the Kal V'Chomer. If when a tooth or an eye of an Eved Kanani gets knocked out by the Adon, by the master, the Eved goes free entirely because of the suffering and the loss. So then Kal v'chomer, when somebody suffers pain and the body is racked by pain, the person goes free, so to speak, of his sin and of his guilt. That's the Kal v'chomer. So on the surface, the understanding of this Kal v'chomer is that, look, here you're dealing with one tooth and the pain of the loss of one tooth and what it hurt, as you know, how much it hurt when it was knocked out. And that gives and grants the erstwhile slave his freedom. That's just one tooth. If a person's body is racked by pain, so then Kal v'chomer, he certainly is, so to speak, set free and no longer going to have to be made to suffer or lose his Olam Haba because of his sin. That's the Kal v'chomer. It's the idea of just one tooth versus a whole body racked by pain. So of course the person is given so much, given his freedom from sin and from guilt because all of his pain. That's on surface what the Kal v'chomer is all about. The Maral says we should look at this more deeply. On page Kuf Ayin He, in the second volume of Nesiv HaSailim, Nesiv HaYisurin, Perek Aleph in Nesiv HaYisurin, again page Kuf Ayin He, second column. It's about six lines down. It seems so strange, so foreign, to learn the Kal v'chomer from the case of an Eved Kanani whose Adon caused him to lose a tooth or an eye. So certainly when a person suffers pain, and it's a pain that might hurt and afflict the whole body, so of course certainly the person is set free of his guilt, of his sin. Aval hadvarim mehem berurim ve'emes. They're clear, they're true. Mimashe bi'arnu l'maliki ha'yisurin shel av ha'mesalkin v'marikin ha'neshama sheyesh lo dveikos al haguf. Pain to the body cleanses the body. Why does a person sin? Because of the drawback and the weakness of the flesh, of the body. The pain then afflicts the body. Shekashechot v'nota achar haguf. When sin happens, it's because we have followed the yearnings and desires of the body. Shemimenu hachet. Shemimenu hachet. That's where chet, where sin comes from. Therefore, yesh la kapara al yedei yisurin shemima'atin aguf. So then you have kapara, you have forgiveness, when that guf, when that body is made to suffer. The body that causes you and that eggs you on to sin is in suffering, and that's the forgiveness. That's the cleansing process. The proof is because what is an Eved after all? An Eved Kanani is physical property. He is considered Baal Chaymer. He is all about his physical, he is all about what his work can do. He is not so much about his soul, but he is to the owner property. He is a thing. He is of flesh, not of spirit. In the case of the Akedah, where Avraham Avinu said, "Shvu lachem po im hachamor, im hadoyme lachamor, ki kol eved hu kemoi behema nechshav shehi chamris." Now, we don't mean to say that they are chas v'shalom like animals, but we mean to say that they are property, like any typical beast of burden. Ki kol eved hu kemoi behema nechshav shehi chamris. They are of physical nature. And that's what they are centrally all about. As we've explained many times, an Eved Kanani is all about his physical body. You own him, you own his work, Ukasher mapil shein avdoi a mesame ha'odin einoi, when you cause him to lose a tooth or an eye, umachaseloi ever migufai, he now loses a part of his physical body, umimait oisoi migufnis, you have diminished his physicality, then it's fit for you to be punished by having him set free. Because what is he? He is his physicality. That's what he is all about. You've diminished that, then he is to be set free. Because you took away of his essence. Kashera odun shehu sibula avdus ha'evid. Ma'pul sheinoi emisam esaino mema'at es gufai. You've diminished his physicality. Shehu evid bishvil ha'gufnis. That's what he's all about. The essence of his being an evid is his muscle power, what he's able to do, his work. And you've diminished that, so then you've lost him. He goes free. Now comes the Kal V'chomer. Kal V'chomer Yisurin. So, pain. In the case of a Jew who is not all about his physicality is a minor part of who he is. And now his body is made to suffer. Kal V'chomer Yisurin. Shehem Mimarkin Kol Gufa Shel Adam. Where you have this cleansing process because the entire body is racked with pain. So kavuchem shiyeh yotzei behen lecheres. Because after all, it's not that the Jew chas v'shalom is all about his physicality. It's just that he did a chet. So his physical guf and the draws of the yetzahara and the weakness of flesh caused him to do an avera. But now that he's been punished, so his guf has suffered enough. The guf that had been drawn to sin has been diminished. And after all, we're not talking about just one, you know, part of the body necessarily. We're talking about the entire psychological experience of pain, which could be much greater than just the one part of the body that is suffering. So he's no longer trapped by his sin. This is a great kal v'chomer. Because it's not just about, you know, one aver, one organ, versus in the case of the cleansing process from chet, where it's the entire body. It's more than that. It's that in the case of the Eved, the whole Eved is defined by his guf. He's defined by his being of a physical nature. In the case of a Jew who's suffering because of his sins, the Jew by definition is not all about his physicality. That's a minor portion and a minor part of who he is. So if in that case it's just a minor part of who he is and his whole body is made to suffer and he feels pain, so that's enough to set him free from his sin and from the guilt of his sin. By and by, what the Maharal has done is that the Maharal has explained this tremendous disparity between the dinim. Why it is that in the case of an Eved Ivri, you are not going to lose the Eved Ivri. You'll pay him for what you've done. You'll pay him for the pain and suffering. You'll pay him for the loss of his tooth. But he doesn't go free. Yes. In the case of an Eved Kenani, you've caused damage, but you don't just pay for the damage. You lose the Eved entirely. The Eved goes free. That's his responsibility. He is liable to he is liable to the extent that the entire goofness, the entire body of the Eved is no longer his. Because by definition, the Eved Kenani is all about his body. He is a piece of material being. And you have disrespected and diminished his physical being. So he goes free. Because you have diminished that which is his essence. You've taken away part of what is definitively him. So you've done something that's therefore considered a much bigger offense, if you will, yeah, a much more severe offense than if that tooth was taken from an Eved Ivri. Because in the case of the Eved Ivri, that's not who he is. That doesn't define him. So because physicality doesn't define him, the fact that that tooth is lost, you have to pay for it. The damages, how much the person is worth now, less than he was, because he's missing that eye or that tooth. You have to pay him for the pain he suffered. You have to pay him his dental, his doctor bills, yeah? But you don't lose him. If he has, for instance, allowed you to have his ear pierced, and he's supposed to be there another 30 years till the Ovel, he's going to remain an Eved Kanani of yours for another 30 years. Were he an Eved Ivri, excuse me, he'll remain an Eved Ivri of yours for another 30 years. Whereas if he were an Eved Kanani, he would be going free.
So maybe I'm looking at it from a different point of view. If either of them suffered, particularly the Jewish slave, it's something that they did wrong, and it's Hashem has now punished them to cleanse their sin. In the case of the Eved Ivri, their reward, let's call it, is that they being punished for their sin, they do teshuva, they stay where they are.
In both instances, the Jewish person is the Jewish person is liable, the Jewish person is responsible, and the Jewish person is going to have to... The difference is, how do you rectify and do justice by the Eved Kanani, and how do you do justice and rectify what you've done wrong by the Eved Ivri? In the case of an Eved Ivri, doing justice means treating him like you would any other Jew. Any Jew whose tooth you take out, you are responsible for the damages, the devaluation of the person, the doctor bills, pain and suffering, all of that you have to pay. Same thing with an Eved Ivri, with a Jewish Eved. But if it's your Eved Kanani, the only way to do justice by him is to set him free. And that's because in the case of an Eved Kanani, you've diminished something that is his essence, and that is his physicality, and you've insulted that which is most sensitive to his being, and therefore you've lost him, and he's gained his independence. So with this, what we have seen therefore is that the Torah is in one case treating the reus of Jews one with another with such sensitivity that we have to make each other whole, whereas in the case of a Gentile you would not. But conversely, in the case of a Gentile slave, the Torah says that you have to recognize your responsibility to him and the injury done, because he is all about his physicality, and therefore your liability is greater. And if you have damaged him, and his damages of the physical nature, then you have caused him to deserve to be free of you, and you set him free. So in that case, it would actually be, in almost all instances, that you would be more liable, or that your the damages and the loss to the defendant, to the Jewish owner, would be greater in that case, where the plaintiff is a Gentile, and the losses and liabilities would be smaller where the plaintiff is a Jew.